If you have your Bible with you tonight, we're turning to Luke's Gospel in chapter 23. The 23rd chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And we're reading together from verse 27. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never give suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also with him, there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And this superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil in the temple was rent in twain. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend thy spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. Amen. Ending our reading at verse 47. Praying that the Lord will bless the reading and the preaching of his holy and precious word this night. Shall we bow for a word in prayer and seek God's help and his blessing upon the preaching this night? O Heavenly Father, we do thank thee tonight for this gospel meeting. And we do thank thee there is a gospel. There is good news. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this, and Lord, we praise you for it. And we do pray this night that the gospel goes forth. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt speak to some dear soul, and that thou wilt bless thy word, and some soul will pass from death to life, from the power of Satan unto God. We realize this night, Lord, that without thee we can do nothing. We realize, Lord, we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost and power. We need thy help, thy blessing. For without thee, Lord, this night, we are nothing. And we can do nothing. And so, Heavenly Father, we look to thee. We pray to thee for thy blessing. And that thy word would have free course and be glorified. Hear us now and help us. Bless us and be with us. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Our text tonight is found in verse 33 of the passage that we read together. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. At this scene before us, the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is coming to a close. He has been betrayed by Judas into the hands of his enemies, the chief priests and scribes. They have given him a trial of sorts, and they find him guilty of perverting the nation and teaching things contrary to Moses, and demand that he be crucified and put to death. They bring him to Pilate with this demand, and Pilate, of course, is reluctant at the first, but they have their way. And so we find that here the Lord Jesus Christ, he's been beaten and scourged, he's been mocked, he's been derided, and he's been abused. And we find here he's heading out of Jerusalem with the crown of thorns on his head, and he's climbing the cross, and he's making his way through the streets of Jerusalem. And the women of Jerusalem, they weep for him and bewail him. But Jesus says, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. And on he goes. Isaiah said, he is led as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before his shears is dumb, he opened not his mouth. He goes on through the gates of the city, and he climbs the lonely hill of Golgotha, until finally the Bible says, they come to the place which is called Calvary, and there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And that's what we want to look at tonight. The place called Calvary. What kind of a place was Calvary? And what did Calvary mean to the Lord Jesus Christ that day? Well, first of all, Calvary was a place of suffering. It says there, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered many things that day. He suffered, first of all, from the hands of men. For men took him and beat him and scourged him. They had an instrument like a cat with nine tails, with wire and nails in it. And they beat him on his back till his back was left like a ploughed field. And then they mocked and abused him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. And they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And the Bible says they plucked the hair out of his cheeks. And they buffeted him. And then they falsely accused him. They said he perverted the nation. And then he pulled down the temple and rebuilt it in 3 days. And then finally, after all of that, they took him out and had him crucified and put to death in the cruelest, wickedest way that man could invent. And he suffered many things from the hands of men. But then he suffered from the hands of his Father. You see, on the cross, God the Father poured upon Christ all his wrath and all his indignation for our sin. No one ever died like Christ. The Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise him and to put him to grief. And remember, in the darkness, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And why did God the Father forsake his Son in his darkest hour? Because on the cross, he who knew no sin, or did no sin, became sin. And a holy God could not look on our sin, on his Son, while he bore our sin. And so he turned his back on him, and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And beloved, Christ suffered, not for anything he had done, but he suffered for our sin. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep had gone astray. We turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Calvary was a place of suffering. The hymn writer said, we may not know, we cannot tell, what pains he had to bear, but we believe it was for us. He hung and suffered there. Calvary was also a place of sacrifice. In the book of Hebrews, we read, this man, after he offered up one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And oh beloved, Christ's life was a life of sacrifice. Paul writing in Corinthians said, he who was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Do you ever think of the riches and the wealth of the Son of God? Here he was, the second person of the Trinity, equal and co-equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He was the darling of his Father's bosom. The Bible says the cattle on a thousand hills were his. And he left all that behind. And he stepped out. And he was born in a manger. And then after that, in his lifetime, he could say, foxes have holes, the birds of the air had nests, but the Son of Man had not where to lay his head. On one occasion, in order to make an illustration, he had to borrow a penny. And then when he died, he was buried in another man's tomb. That was sacrifice when he stepped out of glory. But on the cross, beloved, he made the supreme sacrifice. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And before he died, he cried out, it is finished. And in the Greek, that is one word, talio. And it's translated five different ways in the New Testament. It's translated, made an end of, paid, performed, accomplished, and finished. And on the cross, what was made an end of? Sins and guilt. On the cross, what was paid? The price of our redemption. On the cross, what was performed? The utmost requirements of the law. On the cross, what was accomplished? The work the Father gave him to do. And on the cross, what was finished? Making the atonement for our sin. All the love tonight, Calvary was a place of sacrifice. So it was. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Again the hymn writer said, taken out was he to die. It is finished was the cry. And now in heaven, exalted high. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. But in Calvary is also a place of substitution. Well, over there in 1 Peter and chapter 2, we read these words. In verse 24, 1 Peter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sin on his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. And then over in chapter 3 and verse 18, for Christ also suffered for sins. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. And we see here, Christ was our substitute, and he was God's substitute for our sin. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And over there, the Bible also tells us he bore the sin of many. In John chapter 10 and verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, on behalf of the sheep. You know what? Christ died in the sinner's place. Do you remember in the Old Testament, we read about Abraham and Isaac. And God said to Abraham to take Isaac to the land of Moriah and put him on a mountain and put him on an altar and there sacrifice him for a burnt offering. And so Abraham obeyed. And Isaac and Abraham, they were heading up Mount Moriah. And Isaac said to Abraham, behold the wood and the fire for the burnt offering, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. And that's what he did that day. When Abraham looked in the thicket, he saw a lamb caught in the thicket. And that lamb went on to the altar. And Isaac didn't have to die. And that's what happened at Calvary. God found a lamb to take our place. The Lamb of God. John the Baptist cried out when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And Christ died in the sinner's place. He died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He was our substitute for our sin. But Calvary was also a place of sorrow. In the book of Lamentation, in chapter 1 and verse 12, it is said, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, wherewith the Lord has afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. And of course Christ was the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We think of the sorrow he bore at the tomb of Lazarus. Remember it says he wept when he saw what sin did. It brought death and sorrow. Christ wept. He also wept, of course, in sympathy with Mary and Martha. And then we see him weeping over Jerusalem there in Luke chapter 19 As you're about to enter Jerusalem for the last time, in verse 41, it says there, when he came near, he beheld the city and wept over it. And that just wasn't a tinkle. That was a wail. That was a burst of tears. Saying, if thou hadst known, even now at least in this thy day, the things that belong to thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, and thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee around, and keep thee on every side, and lay thee even to the, with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the day of thy visitation. And this was a city that was going to reject him, and going to crucify him. And Christ wept over it. And of course that happened in AD 70 when the Romans came up. And in the sea is Saul, when he was denied, Peter denied him. Remember, Peter denied him with oaths and cursing. And the Bible says the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And that, of course, was a look of love and pity. But also a look of sorrow. I'm sure the Lord was grieved that one of his disciples would deny him. And then in the scene, when in the hands of sinful men, when they beat him and scourged him and mocked him, and they ride him. And in it seemed, when they all forsook him and fled, all his disciples. But on the cross, beloved, Christ bore our sins and our sorrow. Isaiah tells us, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And yet we did esteem him, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And that's why Christ is the man of sorrows. He took our sins. He took our sorrows. And he went to the cross. And there he suffered and bled and died on our behalf. The writer said, he took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. And then Calvary was a place of scorn. Here in chapter 23, we have the scorn of the people, verse 35. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them, derided him, saying, he saved others. Himself he let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And these people, they had already mocked him and beaten him. And then he was crucified. They were still pouring scorn upon him. He saved others. Let him save himself. And then we think of the soldiers. In verse 36. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be king of the Jews, save thyself. And the soldiers mocked him and poured scorn upon him when he was on the cross. The two thieves broke at them here in this chapter. One derides him. But Mark says there was a time when they both cast the same into his teeth. And they both said, save thyself and us. And then there was the chief priests and the scribes. And Calvary was a place of scorn. And Calvary is still the place of scorn. Because people want to go to heaven their own way. They want to go by church. They want to go by baptism. They want to go by good works. But they don't want to go by the cross. And beloved tonight, if you've never been to the cross, if you've never been saved by the precious blood, you'll never be in heaven. Because it's the way of the cross leads home. That's the only way to get to heaven. If you have never been to Jesus for the cleansing power, you will never be in heaven. And then last of all, Calvary was a place of salvation. In verse 42, it says, "And he said unto Jesus," that's the dying thief, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And this old thief, he couldn't join a church. He couldn't be baptized. He couldn't do any good works, or take communion, or be confirmed. He could do nothing to save himself, either physically or spiritually. But he looked to Jesus, and he lived. He said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And that day he closed his eyes in death. And he went to be with Christ. And he went to heaven. He looked and he lived. And Calvary is still the place of salvation. So it is. The story is told of C.H. Spurgeon when he was a young boy, about 15. He had a burden of sin on his heart. He knew he was a great sinner. And he left his home one morning, a very snowy morning, to go to his usual place of worship. But because of the snow, he didn't make it. But he turned down into the Methodist chapel, a primitive Methodist chapel. And there wasn't too many people there. And the preacher hadn't turned up. But an old deacon got up to preach. And he preached on that text, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and none else." And he preached for a while, and finally exhausted the text. And he looked over to Spurgeon, and he said, "Young man, you look miserable." And Spurgeon said, "I was miserable, but I didn't need him to tell me." And he said, "Look, young man, look to Christ. Look to Calvary. Look to the precious blood." And Spurgeon says, "I looked and I lived." Calvary is a place of salvation. The hymn writers put it like this: "There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open, and you may go in. It's at Calvary's cross. It's where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus." And that's all you have to do tonight, friend. Come as a sinner to Jesus, because he has done it all. He went to the cross. He suffered. He bled and died. He bore our sins in his own body in the tree. And he was our substitute. And all you have to do tonight is repent of your sin and come and put your faith and trust in him. And he will never turn you away. And you will find a wonderful Savior, a wonderful friend. You'll never regret getting saved. You'll never regret it in life. A Christian life is a wonderful life. You'll never regret it in death, because you know it's well with your soul. You'll never regret it in eternity, because you're going to be with the Lord. But if you don't get saved, well, you will regret it. Maybe not in life, but you'll regret it in death. You'll regret it in eternity, but it'll be too late. May the God speak to you, and may he save you, and have mercy on you. Amen.